This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, Stephen Bond, thank you. It is October 1st, the first Saturday in October. That should mean something to my partner. That's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You want to know how we know that time flies in life? First off, it's week five in college football. What the hell? How did we get to week five? And secondly, you've got a son, I believe, turning 34 today?
Yeah, can you imagine that? I mean, it was just the other day. It felt like I was watching him run around the house in an Indiana Hoosier outfit. You know, it's like, geez, oh, man, time flies. And we're so proud of him, Millie and I, and as he coaches at the Raiders. And our other son, Maddie, who had a birthday the other day, yesterday. So it's, 2 years apart to the day. You know, Patrick, it was really kind of fortuitous because it was one Chuck E. Cheese party for me. You know, we just combined them both together. I didn't have to go to one in March. I didn't have to go to one in April. I didn't have to, it was perfect. It was, it worked out.
I was going to ask about the logistics. Now, a couple of things. One, happy birthday to Mick Lombardi, offensive coordinator there with the Vegas Raiders, turns 34 today. His brother, Matt Lombardi, had a birthday yesterday. I think we should take a second to recognize the queen, that is Millie Lombardi,
course, yeah.
Who somehow, she's spreading herself thin here. She was in Vegas to hang out with the crew. Now she's in Charlotte. She spent yesterday with her youngest son, Matt. Now Mick's going to get jealous. I mean, there's a lot going on here with Millie.
A lot of stuff going on. Meanwhile, I'm on my own here. You know, I just got to fend for myself, Patrick. You know how it is.
Celine Dion, all by myself.
All by myself. Well, I got Bill Berman and Anissa, so that's always good. So we're good. You know, we'll move along here. I got to take care of the dogs, too. The dogs made the appearance on the One More podcast. I mean, they were itching to get on it. Of course, naturally, that's recorded in my house, but because we need the best technical aspect we can get. So what a great day, though. I know the weather's bad here today in the Northeast, but college football, October, there's nothing better.
Yep, of course, Jick Jack Johnson, one piece of the One More podcast, is going to be joining us from the Bayou. We're going to have Matt Eumanns in studio there at the Circa as far as making some college football plays. Let's just talk about the weather to start. Okay, so the impact of Hurricane Ian is going to be felt for quite some time down in Florida. It's almost tough to talk sports when we think about what those poor people are going through. Many people still without power. Fort Myers and all up and down the Gulf Coast. But it's interesting because we talked about some of those numbers and those totals dropping precipitously as far as scoring and the over-unders, Michael Lombardi. But, I'm taking a look at the weather forecast today. Even Clemson's not going to be affected. They could have some showers with NC State there, a top 25 matchup. They could have some showers early, but it looks like it's going to clear by the time that primetime game gets underway. So MSU, Michigan State, Maryland, on and off light rain, 15-mile-an-hour winds, but it could have been so much worse.
No doubt. It could have. And I think the wind gust, like here on the Jersey Shore, as I came to the Borgata, there is serious wind gust. We had a lot of rain last night. No rain when I walked into the building here today. But there's high winds, and I think obviously that's going to affect the game. Clemson, for me, are you sold that DJ is DJ, that he's an elite player? Like, even though they won, they beat Wake Forest, I wasn't like, oh, my gosh, this guy really has won me back over again. I'd like to hear what your thoughts were.
Well, I thought he got off, and I thought the offense got off against Wake, a 51-45 double overtime win. And remember, he's got Klubnik waiting in the wings there, the five-star kid out of Texas. But DJ, he did play better. It's so interesting you brought him up, because another guy from where DJ grew up, which is about 20 minutes away from me here, is a guy named Jalen Daniels at Kansas. Mm-hmm. The LA Times did a great piece on Jalen Daniels, because think about this. When he was coming up, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and DJ were all in the mix as well. And those were the prom queens, if we're going to put it that way. And Jalen Daniels, who's a Heisman candidate at Kansas right now, he wasn't even recruited because he grew up it's called Lawndale, California, which is right down the way. But that's how rich this area is with quarterback talent. But DJ, back to your question, and Clemson today hosting NC State, two 4-0 teams. Remember, NC State beat Clemson and Raleigh last year. Previous to that, they had lost 15 of the last 16 meetings. But this is a interesting, Death Valley's going to be rocking tonight. It's going to be a primetime game, center stage, 7:30 your time, ACC showdown with division rivals. I think DJ, again, I've been mostly with you, and I thought he was terrible last year. I thought he was very good against Wake. We'll see if he can continue against a good NC State defense.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll find out. I think that's the question. Whereas Kansas, I mean, A, Kansas 4-0. I think they're the fifth best offense in all of football, in college football. That's pretty remarkable, you know, that they've been able to do this. You know, when you watch Clemson, I just didn't feel like maybe I'm taking too much out of the game. And this will be a fun game to watch against the North Carolina State Wolfpacks defense and see how they move the football. Because I think when you look at their relative offensive numbers, I think they're still 73rd in the country. And it isn't like they played a tough schedule, if you want to count Tech, Furman, and Louisiana Tech. I mean, like, seriously. So, I mean, time will tell. But improvement, no question. Improvement is there. I think there's no doubt.
Yeah, listen, it's not a great Wake defense, and this is a step up against Doran's NC State defense. So, DJ, listen, there's going to be a short lease. With Klubnik sitting there, I mean, is a guy that won state championships, plural, in Texas, the quarterback waiting in the wings there at Clemson. So let's put it this way. Dabo is in a good spot there at Clemson as he continues the dominance in the ACC.
I think if I ever was in college football, I would recruit every top quarterback because – what's going to happen is you're going to get a bounce back. Like, there's going to be, you know, let's say DJ plays another year. What does Klubnik do? Does he stay? They got a kid from the Tennessee, Chris Frazzano. I mean, one of the top players in the country going to Clemson next year. I mean, when does he play? You know, like, you can't play them all. I mean, one thing about quarterbacks in the NFL, quarterbacks in college, it's a lot like musical chairs. Once somebody has a seat, there's no more seats, you know? And so, like, I think this is why we're seeing programs develop better. You know, I mean, look, Arizona's 2-2. They play Colorado today, but they've got a really good quarterback that, you know, went to Washington State, transfers in. So there's enough to make your team more competitive if you stay on top of it.
Well, it's also a game of musical chairs. Think about what's happening with Sarkisian in Texas. Quinn Ewers, who was a five-star kid, transferred from Ohio State. He essentially has 1 year on the stage because here comes Mr. Manning. Yeah, here comes Arch Manning right behind
him. All right, so where's he go? Like, where does he go? Like, I mean, they didn't spend – did you see all the money they spent at Texas on the recruiting weekend when Arch came to town? I think it was like $750,000. I mean, that money's not an object down there. And so, like, are you spending all that money to get Arch and then not play him? I mean, like, you know, I mean, so I think ultimately, look, I think that Texas program, and I'll keep saying this, like, I think Texas, Sark's a good play caller. Sark's not a head coach. And Sark's teams are never going to be tough enough. And that's why they're going to go to Lubbock and lose. That's why they can play close to Alabama in a game. But in terms of sustainable excellence, no chance. Sorry to disappoint you, Texas fans, but that's not who he is. He's had three of the most elite jobs in all of college football, Washington, USC, and now Texas. And he's yet to prove that he can win at any of those places on a sustainable level and generate a turnaround. Like, to me, in a big game, I'm always going to bet against him.
Yep, that's facts. He is not a head coach. He's a head coach at a lower level, not at Texas. Austin's a big stage. They've got two quarterbacks. They don't have a head coach. It's funny. You know, look what Leopold's doing at Kansas, who wasn't a name necessarily out of the MAC, or even what your boy's doing down at Florida. When they go and grab these, or think about what is happening in Fayetteville, Arkansas today, with a guy that really wasn't thought about as a head coaching material, head coaching potential, an offensive line coach, of course, and he's done a hell of a job at Arkansas. Sometimes you go for these big names, and Sarkisian was that big name because he was rehabbed offensive coordinator there with Saban, but it was a sexy hire, but is it the right hire is the question.
I mean, think about this, Patrick. Kansas is in the Big 12, right? And that's offensive football. Texas is still in the Big 12 numerically in all their statistics. So is Oklahoma, right? And so is Baylor, and so is Okie State. I mean, this Kansas offense is the number one scoring offense in the conference. They're fourth overall in the country, you know? And so they're able to put points on the board, and I think it goes back to there really aren't bad jobs. There's bad coaching. And understanding how to win at a school is so important. Like, not all schools you can win at. Like, Leopold has came in there with the same model at Buffalo. Like, I'll tell you that, you know, Sean Lewis, the head coach at Kansas, at Kent State, played Georgia as good as you could. I mean, he scored more points on Georgia than probably anybody. right? And so he's at Kent State. He's going to get himself a Power 5 job next year just because he's building a program and he knows how to build a program. See, I think that's the key. Where are you and how you build? That's why, you know, Kansas State, they're playing – Kent State's playing Akron today. That line has jumped up significantly because I think Kent State's a good team and they're well coached.
We're going to get to those games and more here on the Lombardi Line. Just getting started. 2 hours of college football action on VSiN, the Esports Betting Network. Let's start with the big three. We do it every week because it's Bama, it's Georgia, and it's Ohio State. So we mentioned Bama, number two team in the country. They head to Fayetteville to take on Arkansas, the 20th ranked Razorbacks. They're laying 17.5. You saw Berman and our buddy Thomas Gable were texting, and Gable said the tickets and the money right now on Arkansas. But this number opened 15. It's been bet up to 17. So something's a little fishy. You got 17.5 in the market as well with Bama laying it on the road.
And look, and I think part of this is because Bama has not played well on the road. I think, and I don't know why that is, but that 20-19 victory against Texas doesn't look very good after Texas lost to Texas Tech. Not that Texas Tech's a bad team. Look, I think Jerry Maguire is going to get that program turned around out there, and I think they will win. But to me, this is why I think the line seems so tempting. And, you know, look, we're going to go to break here in a second, but Matty Humans is doing Saturday and Sunday is fabulous. It's tremendous. And a lot of the people in his contest are all over Arkansas and the points. Do they think Arkansas is going to win? No. Arkansas thinks they can move the football on them. I know that.
Bama, last five true road games, 1-4 ATS to your point. So Bama at the Razorbacks, Georgia at Missouri, they're laying 30. How about Tony Soprano's team, Rutgers, headed to Ohio State? Ohio State's laying 39. That's the big three. We'll come back with the Bama-Arkansas cap next here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's First Bet Express Bet. It's the preferred horse racing app here at VSiN, and we've got Jeff Siegel's plays for today, his best plays on the track for today. Santa Anita in the sixth. Jeff has the 2-horse at 4-1. How about the 7th race at Santa Anita? Jeff has the 1-horse, first piece at 4-1 on the morning line. Get $10 free to bet when you sign up at First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Use the horse code HORSE200 for $10. Plus, you get 100% match on your first deposit up to $200. That's a great deal. Got wagering at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks. First Bet app is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sports, secure payments, attentive customer service, and reliable website. Details at VSiN.com/horses. You can sign up now. As we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, he's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. It's week 5 in college football. And as we went to break, we were talking about the big three. It's almost like we have to reset every single week, Michael, with Georgia, Bama, and Ohio State. And certainly the biggest, as far as matchups are concerned, it's going to be Fayetteville. The Razorbacks, they got to be kicking themselves. They went against that anemic A&M offense last year.
Don't and say really that. That's the greatest quarterback coach. In fact, in my next book, I'm going to write Jimbo is one of the leading founding fathers of the offensive football. I mean, come on. You can't say that about Texas A&M. Please. Everybody knows he's brilliant. He's a genius. Come on. That's what they tell us.
Arkansas heartbreaking loss at A&M 23-21. The difference was that red zone fumble and A&M scooped it for a 82-yard touchdown run the other way. I mean, that's the difference in the game.
Yeah.
Arkansas,
and the missed field goal.
Arkansas catching 17.5 off the 15 opener. A couple things here. 15 straight wins for Alabama in the series. An 8-point win in Tuscaloosa last year. Remember, that's important. 42-35. In that game, Bryce Young had 559 yards passing. So much has been made this year thus far about Alabama and not having that same explosive offense, Michael, but you started to see in the win over Vanderbilt last week that chemistry with Young and Burton and Holden and Brooks starting to come together. It's almost like they're starting to bloom because, remember, he lost his receivers from last year. So Alabama's starting to pick up some heat here. They're laying 17.5 at Arkansas.
And we know this, a lot of sharps are on Arkansas today because Alabama in the last 7 road games are 1-7 against the spread. And I think that's ultimately the biggest issue, right? So, you know, Alabama has yet to play as well on the road. And like you said, their offense has to get taken to another level, you know, where they're really throwing the ball effectively and really taking control of the game. I mean, even in the Texas game, they never had control of that game. And that's really the only game we can go by. Vanderbilt, I mean, look, Vanderbilt's might go over their win total, which is great. To me, the key and the strength of Arkansas is in Kendall Briles, the offensive coordinator, and Barry Odom, the defense coordinator. I mean, those two coaches have done a great job. Sam Pittman, the head coach, kind of defers everything to them. And Odom specifically, former head coach at Missouri, has done a very good job defensively with Arkansas. You know, I know it was a monumental challenge taking down that Texas A&M offense last week, but he did a pretty good job with it. So, you know, for me, I think that's going to be the key. And the problem is with these games, because Arkansas's depth is not great and Alabama has it, as this game goes on, you know, that line becomes a little bit harder to cover at 17.5, and you feel like in the fourth quarter, will Alabama do it? I know this. Nick Saban's not going to tolerate playing bad on the road again. I mean, I'm sure that has been the theme of the week down in Tuscaloosa.
So Bama, you just mentioned on the road, they're 4-1 on the road their last five, but three of those wins came by 2 points or less, including the 2019 win at Texas earlier this year. Remember, what were they laying in that matchup? Was it 21? They were laying 21 on the road at Athens. You turn around, they beat at Tuscaloosa last year Arkansas by 8, yet they're laying 17.5. What does that tell you as a new bettor? You're always going to pay an Alabama tax. It's always right. Going to be built in.
And I just don't think the book is buying Arkansas like they did last year. They're not as explosive offensively as they were last year. You know, they lose Burks. I mean, Jefferson still can make plays. They're averaging 33 points a game, but they haven't really. I mean, that Missouri State game with Bobby Petrino came back to Fayetteville. That was yep. They were trailing at halftime in that game. I mean, that was a hard game. Now, you know, that's a tape that I think Alabama's going to use to attack this Arkansas defense, and that's going to be the key. The key to Arkansas covering this isn't can Arkansas score, right? The key to covering this is can Arkansas play good enough defense? And that's where they're not as good as they were last year. They're 75th in the country in points allowed. You know, they're not as strong in terms of their relative total defense. They're 105. I think that's going to be the key, and I think that's why this line has ticked up. But a lot of people are on that 17.5.
Well, you just nailed it. Arkansas's biggest weakness specifically is in the back end of that defense, their pass defense. And Bryce Young, I mentioned his chemistry with Burton and Holden and Brooks starting to build. 385 through the year last week against Vandy. I understand it's Vandy, but remember, he did have 559 passing yards against Arkansas last year. I'm going to stay away from the side, Michael, and give you this. Bryce Young's passing prop as far as yardage, 306.5. We're going to go over that today against a bad back end of the defense there for Arkansas. 306.5 passing yards for Bryce.
You got to like it, Patrick. They're going to put you in the sharp contest because when you look and you break down the game and you look over these numbers, relative passing defense by Arkansas, 146th in the country. So that takes a lot of factors into account. 146 are the worst team in the Southeast Conference in passing defense. That includes Vanderbilt and Missouri. Take that for what it's worth. I like it.
So you're telling me Matt Eumanns is going to make some room for me there amongst the 16?
I would give you a table. I mean, look, you know, I know Mike Palm can't be in the contest, but Mike Palm's a really good handicapper. You know, I keep track of all these picks every week just to kind of, because I love I love what Matty Eumanns has done for the network. I think it's tremendous. We'll have him in the next hour. But this is fun to look at, to see all these different people and how they, what I want to look at often when you see people give out picks is their process on how they reach that conclusion. Like I don't want to jump to tomorrow, but for example, somebody's taking the Commodores tomorrow. Like I want to know their process and thought, how you got there. Cause I can't get there no matter what. Now I'm not going to play Dallas because I see it as a trap and I don't want to be like Batman and get caught in the trap. But to me, I love to know the process of how people come up with it.
You know, it's interesting, 42-35 last year. So what do we got? 77 points. Take a look at the total today there, Fayetteville, Alabama, Arkansas.
60.5.
Total 62 down to 60.5, Michael Lombardi. That's interesting because – again. You mentioned KJ Jefferson. He has gotten it done. I mean, he's been very good this year. He's, 941, 8 touchdowns, just one pick, 274 on the ground, 4 touchdowns on the ground. They could score. And they scored against a very good defense against A&M, who's given up like 8 a game. Not necessarily a lean to the over, but interesting to see that total come down a little bit from 62.5 to 60.5.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think to me the question again is going to go right back. Can Arkansas play good enough pass defense? Can Arkansas keep this game somewhere in the 30s? Can they? Can they keep it in the 30s? I mean, that's the question. If you're going to play the over, where do you see Alabama score? If Alabama scores 45, it'll go over 60. Right? If Alabama scores 42, it's probably going to go over. So you got to play the game out in your head. How do you see this game? Again, I'm not great with overs, unders. I'll admit that. But I like to play the game out in my head. And, you know, oftentimes you can't count on a picked up 92-yard return fumble in your head. You kind of think that. Like I've always said this, and I think this is true about Buffalo. Maybe you can keep San Francisco when they were going good under the Walsh years. If you turned the ball over for a touchdown, the score was going to be in the 30s. Because they were going to get somewhere between 21 and 28 points against anybody they played. You gave up another the game's in. Now, can you win a game in the 30s? It's going to be hard. Can Arkansas keep them in the 30s? Because if it's in the 30s, you got a good chance to play the under.
Yep, well put. Okay, so these numbers are coming directly from John Ewing over at BetMGM. So I'm just giving you the percentages sent to me this morning. Alabama, Arkansas, 72% of the bets. So 72% of the tickets on Arkansas, 73% of the handles. So 73% of the money on Arkansas. We saw the total jump from 15.5 to 17. Just interesting. I'm just saying. And then we talked to Thomas Gable, texted as well, and said he thinks that Arkansas is going to be a very popular side today.
It'd be interesting to see what Jick Jack says coming up in 15 minutes, because there he is in the South, right? Now, he's a long way from Fayetteville and Biloxi, but there's a lot of Southern Southeast Conference bettors that come in his shop, professional bettors that come in his shop. So it'd be interesting to see what his action, because again, as we give out numbers, they're all regional based, right? So it's not a conglomerate of everybody throughout the country. Some are, but some aren't. And I think it'll be fascinating to see where he is with Arkansas and what he wants to play in terms of, is he going to take the points?
Interesting to see. Jick Jack's going to be joining us in just a little bit. I mean, I'm looking at DraftKings right now. They're similar to BetMGM. They've got right now 68% of the handle, 68% of the money, 68% of the tickets. I mean, they're all over the home team there, Arkansas. So interesting as that number jumps up a little bit. When we come back, Michael, a dream
Let's
spot.
Let's hit Georgia. Yeah.
You want to hit Georgia? I was also going to bring up Kentucky because a dream spot for Kentucky. Okay, we'll do that as well. Kentucky's at Ole Miss. Remember, Kentucky was in the same spot where they were getting disrespected when they went to Gainesville, an outright win. Kentucky's headed to Ole Miss. Ole Miss hasn't played anybody this year, and Ole Miss is laying 6.5 as Kentucky heads to Oxford. And we'll get to Georgia as well as we continue.
I wish we were heading to Oxford, Patrick.
Have you been?
Oh, I love Oxford. Love Oxford.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. We're back.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
So time flies, right? I told you it's week 5 in college football. Did you know the NHL season is almost here? Yeah, our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. The VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide is available now with strategies, best bets. And here's the thing. Andy McNeil does a great job, along with others, putting this together. But for new bettors to NHL and hockey betting, 3 things every new NHL bettor should know. So we're going to help you out. We've got you covered. Best bets for player awards, season totals, VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here. As Michael Lombardi mentioned, Jick Jack Johnson's going to join us coming up in about 14 minutes as we welcome you back. College football week 5. Let's talk about a matchup that's interesting. You know, obviously Georgia's rolling right now, defending national champs. They head to Missouri. The other Columbia, this is for our guy, assistant producer back there, Elliot. I went to Columbia, but that's South Carolina. Columbia, Missouri today, Georgia in town. Georgia's up to 30. Okay, so this is interesting, right? Because the Bulldogs are 5-0 when traveling to Columbia, winning by an average of 21 points per. Eli Drinkwitz, let's start there, who took over the Missouri program. He's a different cat. App State, kind of an outside-the-box offensive mind. You've been around him. Let's get a feel for the Missouri head coach before we cap this one.
Well, I think it's going to be a hard game for them. I just don't know how good they are defensively. You know, they went through so many changes last year defensively and coaching staff, and then now they've got a new coaching staff, a new defense, and I'm not sure that they're going to be able to match up against a dominant Georgia team. Look, last week Kent State scored 22 points on the Georgia defense. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Kent State from the MAC, right? They scored 22 on them. That game was close, and it got it blown out in the fourth quarter. I don't know if Missouri can score 22 points today, even at home. Their quarterbacking play, for me, when you hire a guy like Eli, you figure like he's going to get that elite quarterback. Maybe not a five-star guy, but a three-star that he makes a five-star. That's the reason you're going in the offensive direction. That hasn't happened at Missouri. And their offense, even though they played a fairly soft schedule, I mean, they played Tech, Abilene Christian, they got romped at Kansas State. That wasn't a close game. They've only averaged 28 points. They played Auburn last week, lost in overtime, and Auburn at home, in Auburn. And that wasn't, you know, to me, that's a game they should have won. Auburn's not a good team this year. So, I think this is a hard game. I lean really strongly towards Georgia and laying the points. I just don't see how they're able to keep up with Georgia, and I think they'll make mistakes. So I think this is a physical mismatch.
May want to look to the under as well. These two teams combined 7-1 to the under this year. And what's interesting about Drinkwitz, who we just talked about being an offensive mind, Missouri can play some stellar defense. That's really where they hang their hat this year, is on the defensive side of the ball. And obviously Georgia, they want to run the clock, play defense, but they're also averaging, 42.3 per. So the offense is kind of popping this year early on as well, Michael.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a game where we're going to see Missouri's defense. Their numbers say they're good. I think this is the first time they're going to be, because Kansas State put 49 on them, right? And, you know, they only allow 24. The Louisiana Tech game was kind of a back-and-forth game, and it got the second half, it took it over. But, I mean, Abilene Christian, that's a 34-17 win for Kansas. I mean, for Missouri in Columbia. And last week, I mean, Auburn just, you know, they both teams couldn't really move the ball effectively. I think this is a game where you say, well, Missouri's playing great. I don't know. You know, I think a lot of comp football, handicap in football, college football is about level of comp. I'm not sure Missouri's defense has been challenged yet.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for our buddy Elliott's team here and Eli there in Columbia, Missouri. I mean, this Georgia team, it's what did Pat Riley used to call it? The disease of more, where you start to win, then all of a sudden these branches and people want to get more NILs and people want more attention, and all of a sudden the goal has been achieved. Georgia doesn't seem like a team that's acting like they achieved anything last year. You know, there's a mission there. They've got to feel about it.
And here's why I like them today. Because going into the Kent State game, they had only given up 10 points all season. Kent State put 22 on them. Now, you know, I don't think Kirby was happy with his defense. I think you're going to see Georgia's defense take a step forward today, you know, because they were. I mean, they dominated South Carolina, who's a good team, right? You know, now they laid low on Samford. Samford, they only beat Samford 33. They dominated Oregon 49-3. I think they played to the level. I think they play to the level, and I think this is one of those, after giving up 22 points, I'm telling you, I look at the schedule, I don't, other than Tennessee, who's going to score more than 22 on them?
So you're telling me Missouri has Kent State to blame for the butt-whipping they're going to face today, because that's going to be a pissed-off defense. Kirby needs reasons to motivate that defense. They've
been
so prolific.
Exactly. He needs something to walk in there and say, fellas, look, it's not about yelling at him. It's about how there's a standard we've set, and this standard is going to stay with us for as long as I'm the head coach, and we didn't meet the standard last week. Now, that's on me, because I wanted to prepare you well enough, and we didn't play well enough, but we're going to meet the standard this week.
Got a top 15 matchup in Oxford. Okay, you got 7 Kentucky at 14 Ole Miss. Now, this is a fascinating matchup to break down, so let's take our time on this one. 2-4-0 teams, but Ole Miss hasn't beaten anybody. In fact, they beat Tulsa last week at home, but they struggled, 35-27. On the other side, Kentucky. This is a dream spot for Mark Stoops. Remember, he went to Gainesville where he was catching points, an outright win at Florida. Today, Kentucky, and they do get back Chris Rodriguez, the runner last year that had almost 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns on the ground. They get him back this week from suspension, and they're catching 6.5 at Ole Miss here, Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, and look, Ole Miss's numbers offensively, you almost have to take them out. Can they throw the ball? I mean, where they've gained – all their money in this year in the points that they've scored is on the ground. I mean, they're the eighth best team. They're the fourth best rushing team in the country. That's where they are. Can they throw the ball? I don't think against a team that's ranked as high as Kentucky is defensively that they're going to be able to just to come in there and run the ball. They're going to have to throw the ball. And I think if they throw the ball, they'll make mistakes. And Lewis, the quarterback at Kentucky, you know, he's a kid who transfers from Penn State. Did Penn State keep the right one in Clifford? Or is Levis better? I tend to think Will's better, right? And Kentucky, you know, usually wants to play slug it out, but Kentucky can move the football this year, Patrick. I mean, they're much better offensively than they've been, and it's because their quarterback can play so effectively. So, to me, I think this is a hard game. It's a hard game for Mississippi because the fact that they were able to go into Gainesville and beat Gainesville there and score 26 points on Gainesville, I think it tells a lot about their team. They averaged their eighth in the country in relative yards per pass attempt. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, you talked about running the football. Well, Ole Miss runs the ball 68% of the time. They've got Judkins and Evans. They've got two great backs. They don't have a quarterback. This is rare territory for Lane Kiffin. Jackson Dart, the transfer from USC, just is not very good. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. And this is a rush offense in Ole Miss who's been tremendous, but this is a big step up as far as the front seven of Kentucky. Kentucky's a legit defense. Ole Miss hasn't played anybody yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, Kentucky's a good defensive team. I mean, we saw that against Florida. You know, they took Richardson out of the game. They didn't allow him to run. And Stoops does a good job. And I think, you know, Kentucky's program is a little bit like Utah. They're tough. They really are tough. And they know who they are. They know who they are. And I can't wait to watch this game because I want to see Levis, the quarterback. I want to see him, how he responds in a tough environment. Because going to Oxford is not an easy place, right? It's the Grove. It's beautiful. I mean, the crowd will be into it. But to win a game like this, you're going to have to throw the football. And I'm not sure Dart can make those throws.
This number got up to 7. This is disrespectful. This is a pick 'em. I mean, this is a toss up. Kentucky and Ole Miss. What am I trying to tell you? I got it 6. I got it 7 earlier in the week. It's sitting 6.5. A pick 'em where you're catching 6.5 seems like a gift with Kentucky. No.
Yeah, I mean, look. Okay, so let's go through who Mississippi's played to gain their numbers in a power ranking. They played Troy. They played Central Arkansas, Georgia Tech, and they played Tulsa. I mean, this
Georgia
they
Tech
haven't
just
played
fired
it.
Their coach. Georgia Tech just fired their coach, literally.
And Troy and Tulsa, was a game. I mean, that's an 8-point game. Tulsa scored 27 on them. Now, they ran the ball on Tulsa. There's no denying that. But I think this is a step up. I don't know. This is, to me, a funny number, if you ask me. I think this is a strange, strange number on the board.
Now, to give Ole Miss
credit, I'm surprised people aren't all over Kentucky on this game.
Oh, I am. I'm 100% all over Kentucky. I love this. It was shocking earlier this week when I saw a 7 pop up. Now, you're not going to see any 7s now. It's 6.5 across the board. But even that hook on the 6 is interesting to me. With, again, okay, just to give credit where credit's due, Ole Miss does have a good defense, but they haven't played anybody. They can run the football, but they haven't played a front 7 like this. I don't know. Getting Rodriguez back for Kentucky is huge. He ran for 1,379 and 9 touchdowns on the ground last year. That takes pressure off the quarterback as well. This is a tremendous spot for Stoops in Kentucky. A great spot.
I think it is, and I think Kentucky can throw the football. I mean, Kentucky can throw the football. And they've got the best. Look, anytime you're in these kind of games, I'm just looking for the board here. Anytime in these kind of games, you're going to play the better quarterback and the better defense. How hard is that?
Shocked by the number. Don't you? Honestly, don't you find the number shocking? I can understand.
I mean,
a
to me, there's two games this week. There's two games this weekend that shock me. It's this game and the Dallas. I still can't get over the Dallas Washington game. I'm just completely. And Thomas Gable and I talked about it this morning, and I've power ranked Cooper Rush different than I think everybody else has in terms of why my number's much higher. And so, I may be wrong. Maybe Cooper Rush is going to fall flat on his face, but I think that's the difference. This game, I don't understand. The quarterback's for real in Kentucky.
You're going to write a book about that Cowboy spread one day. We're coming back with Jick Jack next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, attention BetMGM customers. If you have a friend who loves sports as much as you do, well, here's an awesome chance for you both to earn $50 in bonuses when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. So it's very simple. All you're going to do is log into your BetMGM account. Once you do, click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message. They register. You're good. $50 to them, $50 to you. It's awesome. The king of sportsbooks, BetMGM. $50 bonus right now for friends. 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to be 21 years or older. Okay, Michael Lombardi there, enjoying a warm brew as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Sorry,
oh,
I'm just starting.
It finally
right
showed
now.
Up. Oh, yeah, we finally got it.
Oh,
okay,
good.
Great.
I'm
Thank
glad.
You, Justin.
I'm,
yeah.
I'm glad. He's got his latte, so all is good for Michael Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to head down to the Bayou and bring back our boy. That is Carl Johnson, Jick Jack Johnson on Twitter. He joins us live from the book. Carl
Cheers.
Johnson, what's up, my man?
Cheers, Michael.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Carl's got jokes. Carl's got jokes. Okay, let's start here. It's not too far from you, Oxford. We're shocked by the 6.5. In fact, I was shocked I got 7 with Kentucky. Are you a little surprised by this number as well, Carl?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I thought this game would be, you know, pick or one or two or something like that, but yeah, this is a surprise. I mean, this is a lot of points. This Kentucky football team, you know, I've been touting them like I did Georgia last year. You know, they can play football. This is going to be a good football game. The people down here are actually betting. We got 70% money and 70% tickets on Kentucky, so they're betting it also.
And yet the line's not moving. I mean, this is like – not to jump ahead to tomorrow, but this line's killed me. Where are you on Washington Dallas tomorrow?
Let's see. In Washington Dallas, we're at I want to say we're at 3.5, Michael. Which is
okay. Oh, did you jump up the 3.5, Carl? That's interesting.
Yeah, I think we're at 3.5, and that's another one that I mean.
That's the bookend. That to me, we have one on Saturday and one on Sunday. I don't get it. I mean, you know, and I get respected people are playing the Commodores just like respected people are playing Ole Miss. I don't get it. But to me, look, there's sometimes stay away is the perfect way. Maybe I've handicapped Kentucky wrong, but I think with their passing game and their ability to play defense, I'm all in on them.
Yeah, I mean, don't you guys have a saying, no can do or something like that?
Yeah, no, that's right. We used to have a segment we called the John Oates, no can do. That's right. Yeah, I'm out. Two teams you will not hear me talk about are the Washington Commodores and the Jets in terms of making picks on the. Like, I'm never on their side. That's it. I'm done. No can do.
Yeah, and that's right. And if you don't feel confident about betting the team that looks like it's a no-brainer, I mean, you just got a no-can-do.
That's right. That's right.
That's a Hall & Oates play. No-can-do. Carl Johnson joining us. Of course, the One More podcast runs the book down at the Beau Rivage. So we talked about the struggles with Alabama on the road covering. They're going to win football games, but can they cover? And they're laying 17.5 there at Fayetteville.
Yeah, don't it kind of remind you when they went to Texas here? Pretty much the same number there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and look, so – the interesting thing with this game for us here in Biloxi is that generally every Alabama football game that we book, generally we're looking at a ticket count of around 90% money, 90% tickets. This one, it looks like the public is kind of remembering Texas. And so right now our count is at Arkansas, 52% money, 65% tickets. So that's pretty interesting.
Are you getting any sharp plays on Alabama at this 17.5 number, or are all the sharps on Arkansas?
Yeah, Mike, it looks like all the sharps that come through here that I know are all on Arkansas, and they've been on them all week.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it is here, too. T. Thomas Gable said the same thing, and you get the sense from listening to Matty Eumann's contest on Friday night, it's the same way. Like, there's the people that handicap this without emotion are taking Arkansas as the home dog.
Yeah, 100%. And look, this is a huge SEC weekend for all these, you know, just because of the matchups. You know, LSU's got a chance to you know, if they can pull one off here, they got a chance to be 2-0 in the conference. You know, one of these teams, Alabama, Arkansas, is going to lose. For Arkansas, it would be, what, their second loss. For Alabama, their first. This is just the way the pairings work out this week for the SEC West. This is a huge weekend.
Yeah, no doubt.
I did want to jump over to a primetime center stage tonight, Clemson, hosting NC State. If you don't mind, we'll go ACC here, Carl Johnson. It's interesting. We talked about the impacts of the weather. Michael's getting wind and rain, but Clemson, it looks like by the time they kick this ball off, no wind, no rain. It could rain earlier in the day there, so they got lucky. I've got that number kind of toggling between Clemson 6.5 and 7. Where are you at the bow?
Yeah, we're at 6.5, 45.5 right now. And look, I can tell you, this is another sharp play that's been they hit it early in the week and they hadn't let off. They're taking NC State. We're looking at about 50% ticket count. I'm sorry, 50% money, 35% ticket count.
Yeah, I think I could see NC. I think NC State's good defensively. I think NC State plays well. I know Death Valley's a hard place to play, but I'm not sold that Clemson's offense is clicking like it was. I'm not sold that the DJ train is the first pick of the draft all of a sudden. I'm going to keep watching it.
The DJ train. Go ahead, Carl.
I was going to say I agree with Michael there. I just this is going to be another good football game, and I see it pretty close here. I like the point.
Another good one. How about Oklahoma State? Let's go Big 12 at Baylor. This is a rematch of last year's awesome Big 12 championship game. It's interesting with Oak State this year, Michael and Carl. The offense is popping, but they lose their defensive coordinator and pieces on defense, and the defense isn't the same. Baylor's defense is tremendous. What do you got here as far as the number in Waco?
Yeah, well, that's my man Aranda. You know, I love that dude. He was at LSU, a good football coach. We opened at 2.5, and right now we're at 2.5, 55.5, 70% money, 60% tickets going on to Baylor.
Yeah, I like Baylor in this spot. I'm with you, Patrick. I just think Oklahoma State isn't quite as good as they were last year defensively and offensively. You know, they're a little bit better than they were last year, but this Baylor team defensively, when they play home, they're hard to play.
Oh, he as Carl said, and I think Carl had those pom-poms out for Aranda potentially sticking around there at LSU. I think he's right. He's kind of a different cat. Michael, you know him. He's a deep thinker. He's a very good football coach. Look what he's done with that Clemson team, that Baylor team that he took over, Michael. He took over that Baylor team when they were in a tough spot as well.
Yeah, no, and I mean, look, they play great defense. I mean, it's a big win up in Ames. When you go into Ames and win a game,
tough.
I think that's – it's hard. Heavy grass, it's tough. You know, I mean, it loses in overtime to BYU. It's the only blemish, and I think BYU is a heck of a team. I mean, Patrick, next week that BYU team comes into Las Vegas, and they play it's the Catholics versus the Mormons then right there in Allegiant Stadium.
It's perfect. And by the way, that Ames turf, that's like running through corn stalks. They keep that long there at Iowa State. How about this one, Carl? Big Ten. Michigan, Iowa. Fascinating, right? This is where top five teams go to die, Iowa City. Here comes Michigan. What do you got them laying?
Yeah, what's that routing number real quick, Patrick?
That number is 185 on your rotation number.
Yeah, 185. Yeah, so we opened 10.5 Michigan here, and we're at 10.5, 42. We're getting some play on the under 42 here.
Yeah, I think it'll be a slow-paced game, and I think everybody's going to be on Iowa. Patrick said it. Going into that stadium and playing there, it just seems like it. And whether Michigan's offense can match, I mean, Maryland, that was a hard game. It was a fun game to watch last week,
yes.
Patrick. McCarthy, you know, I think they have a little bit more offensively than they have in the past. But, I mean, Iowa, they love to play this on the ropes, slow game, you know, 20-17. They play an NFL pace game. I think it's 10.5 is a lot of points here.
Yeah, Iowa scoring 17 points per. Remember, they lost at home to Iowa State 10-7. I'm not making that up. And by the way, shout out to Michael Lombardi. Last week, we were all over Maryland covering that number because something was fishy about that line. Okay, we've got a minute to go, so I want to leave plenty of ample room here for Carl Johnson. What's on the docket today? What's happening at the Bow, and what are you eating?
Yeah, so big day for us. You know, we got a good TV schedule just the way the games lay out. We got Kentucky Ole Miss, then Bama Arkansas, then LSU Auburn. We'll have a packed house, and I'm going to eat one of these bacon cheeseburgers that selling for. Yeah, it's got an onion ring on it and some barbecue sauce. So I'm going to attack that thing here later on.
I just gained 5 pounds listening to you describe that.
No, but what I love about him is it's not like he's ever surprised. Like, he wakes up and the first thing Carl thinks is, what's on the menu today? That's what we love about Carl Johnson.
I love it.
One
You're
more
the
is
best,
the podcast.
Jack.
One
right,
more
guys.
Is the podcast. Jick
Jack
Johnson on Twitter. Have a great day, Carl. Thank you so much. Matt Eumanns joins us next.